companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabi Allah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noor Allah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the Silsila, the Timeless Message. And mashallah, today we are going to be discussing a very beautiful topic, and that is regarding deeds that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, as we journey along today's episode, we are going to be discussing those deeds which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a nur, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, dear viewers of Madani Channel, first and foremost, we show our thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the countless blessings that He has bestowed upon you and I. And upon that we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal. The more gratitude, the more thanks that you show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah ta'ala will grant you, the more Allah ta'ala will give you, the more blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place in your lives. So always be grateful in life, be grateful to others as well. So yes, we are discussing deeds that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has said, إِذَا ضَحِكَ رَبُّكَ إِلَىٰ عَبْدٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَلَا حِسَابَ عَلَيْهِ. That when your Rabb smiles upon a servant in this world, then on the day of Qiyamah, there will be no accountability for him. Subhanallah. Now this means that the righteous deeds, subhanallah, that we are going to be discussing, have two great virtues. One is when a person performs these good deeds, Allah Ta'ala becomes extremely pleased with that person and showers him with rahmah, with mercy. The second is such a fortunate person will enter Jannah on the day of Qiyamah without accountability. Now, inshallah, let us go and discuss these deeds. Number one is seeking forgiveness for sins. Number one, deeds of Madinah Jannah. Now, actually, Sayyidina Ali bin Rabi'ah, rahimahullah, he narrates that once Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mounted a ride and seated me behind him, right? The narrator sings, we set out towards an area called Hira. While traveling, Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, raised his head towards the sky and he recited, Allahumma aghfir li dhunubi innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba ahadun ghayruk. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Indeed, none forgive sins except you. Sayyidina Ali bin Rabi'ah, rahimahullah, says that after reciting this, Mawla Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem looked towards me and smiled. He says, I was surprised and asked, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, you first sought forgiveness, then you looked at me, you smiled. What's the wisdom behind it? What's the secret behind it? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he then mentioned a parable, recalling a memory from his past, beautiful memory. He says that once our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was riding, and he honored me by seating me behind him. Just as we were traveling towards Hira today, we were traveling towards Hira back then as well. While on the way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his blessed head towards the sky. and recited the same dua that I recited today. Allahumma ghafir li dhunubi innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba ahadun ghayruk. Now, oh Allah, forgive my sins. Indeed, none forgives sins except you. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned his radiant face towards me and smiled. I asked the same question you have just asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is the wisdom behind this blessed action? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he replied, he said, O Ali, when a servant asks Allah ta'ala to forgive his sins, Allah ta'ala becomes pleased with that servant and smiles at him. It is because of Allah ta'ala's smile that I smile as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The reviews of Madinah, from the blessed hadith narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we learn that when a servant seeks forgiveness from Allah ta'ala for his sins, Allah ta'ala becomes extremely pleased with that servant and in a manner befitting his majesty smiles as if to say, look, my servant knows that he has committed a sin and he also knows that his Rabb is the one who forgives sins. Subhanallah. So we too, the youth of Madinah Shalom, should make a habit to seek forgiveness for our sins. Make it your daily routine to recite Allahumma ghfirli. Even if not much, at least one tasbih daily, like 100 times. There are other ways of istighfar as well. Keep reciting Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, I seek forgiveness from Allah. Also recite Sayyidul Istighfar as written in Shajra Sharif. So in short, develop the habit of seeking forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala for your sins, for our sins. And inshallah, you will see a person will attain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and be granted entry into Jannah without accountability on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us the ability to constantly seek forgiveness. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. But the views of Madinah, the question is that why is it such that a person sometimes becomes hesitant to seek forgiveness? A person pulls back. A person does not, you know, repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. If a person does something wrong, commits some sin, then we see the common practice is tawbah, 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 tawbah. They will tap the cheeks or they will hold the ears and say tawbah, tawbah. But that is not sincere tawbah, the use of Madinah. When we have to understand that, you know, when we repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we gain the qurb and the closeness of Allah ta'ala. And together with that, if a person is going through different forms of difficulties, if a person is going through hardship, if a person is going through trials and tribulations and they want all of that to be removed, then the key is to make istighfar. That's the key. You want your financial issues to go away. You want your marital issues to go away. You want your disobedient children issues to go away. You want all your issues to go away. Then we need to adopt istighfar by repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if that is not there, and if a person does not turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not repent for their sins, then how can the person expect for their life to be in order? How can everything be sailing smoothly when the person does not want to repent? So repentance, the Madinah channel, is key to our success in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter as well. Because with that comes taqwa. We need to draw closer to Allah. Taqwa enters the heart. When taqwa enters the heart, a person becomes more conscious. Yes. And subhanAllah, the Quran teaches us that for the one who fears Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a means out for him, will create a way out for him from places, from sources where he could not even have imagined, could not even have perceived. But that happens when we take that first step. You know, at times it will happen also that now that shaitan was evil whispers he would put into our minds, and a person would think that, why should I repent? I bring a whole list of excuses that, no, I'm still young, I need to enjoy my life. You know, I still got some time. I'm not old as yet. I still got time. I can enjoy, I can, you know, live my life to the fullest. And they fall into the trap. Long hopes, it's a satanic trap. And the person does not end up seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times a thought may come in a person that, hey, you know what, I am already drowning in the sin, and if I'm going to change, then people are going to say, oh, now you became pious overnight. You think you're a hazrat, you think you're so pious now. You know, all of these thoughts, all of these thinking are evil whispers. And we need to be clever enough to know that it is a satanic whisper. Because shaitan does not want you and I to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan does not want you and I to seek repentance. Yes, shaitan will do whatever he can to stop you and I from seeking repentance. So what do we have to do? We have to put all of that aside. You want to change your life, you change it from now. I don't care what people say. People can say what they want to say. People only know how to talk. People can talk all they want. I don't worry anymore. I'm not bothered, but I will change my life for the sake of Allah. I will repent. I will seek istighfar for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, you would be defeating these evil whispers, defeating shaitan, ignoring it completely. Because we need to always, always turn back to Allah. The more a person drowns in sins, then more difficult it's going to be. Because now shaitan got that person, you know, in his grip. Kicks him around here and there. So our duty is, whenever we fall, whenever we commit a sin, always know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is most forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when every time you turn back to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for your sins. But we have to be sincere. We have to meet the requirements, the conditions of tawbah. We have to feel regret over our sins. We have to feel ashamed over our sins. We have to admit our sins. We have to make a promise not to commit the sin again. You got these three conditions? Subhanallah. Yes. So that is sincere tawbah, Divis of Madinah Inshallah. The Quran teaches us, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ever despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remember to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And eventually you will see, sooner or later, a time is going to come where you are going to hate that sin. You are not going to be committing that sin. The more good deeds you perform, yes, nothing, you know, happens immediately. It takes time. And it takes an effort. The more good deeds you perform, inshallah, over time, you would see, you would have hatred towards a sin. And this is where we need to show our hatred, not towards others. We need to show our hatred towards a sin. Like Imam Ash-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, subhanallah, has mentioned something so beautiful. And our job is not to hate the patient, but it is to hate the disease. So when we see anyone doing something wrong, we shouldn't hate that person. We should hate the sin. You know, in your capacity, correct the person. Guide the person. But don't hate the person. Hate the sin. Remove that sin from him. Remove that disease from him. This is how our mindset needs to be. I mean, imagine if we had that mindset. If we had that mentality. How beautiful our families would be. Filled with unity. How beautiful our communities would be. Our society would be. When we don't judge anyone, we don't look at them with a different eye, and we don't give them those funny looks. So repentance, Divis of Madinah Inshallah, is our way out. It is our salvation, our success in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter. I mean, if you look in the past, there have been individuals who, due to repenting, they have become awliya, they have become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overnight. Why? Sincerely making tawbah. There were some who committed so much of atrocities, so much of sin, yet they only had an intention in their heart to repent, to change their life for the better. And what happened to them? What happened to that person? That person was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was granted Jannah. So much of sin he had committed. Allahu Akbar. So we need to understand that the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is there. Yes, there's a fine line here. A person shouldn't think that the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is there, then I don't have to perform my salah, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that. No. Also remember that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He is most just. There's a balance, no? We got to keep both in mind. So, the main point that I'm trying to bring across is we need to continue making dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Continue turning back to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And you would see how your life turns out for the better in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter as well. As for now, Yusuf Madani, inshallah, we do have a very beautiful kalam, a melodious kalam. So let us go in order to rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and soul in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much further into this beautiful topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Teri baharo ko salam, teri baharo ko salam, ae bayabani arab, teri bahar. سلام ان طواف کعب کے رنگی نظاروں کو سلام
اے بیابان عرب تیری بہاروں کو سلام تیرے پھولوں کو تیرے
حجرِ اسود باب و میزاں بو مقام و ملتزم حجرِ اسود باب و میزاں بو مقام و ملتزم اور غلافِ کعب کے رنگی نظاروں کو سلام غلافِ کعب کے رنگی نظاروں کو سلام
اے بیابانِ عرب تیری بہاروں کو سلام تیرے پھولوں کو تیرے پاکیزہ بہاروں کو سلام
جگمگاتے گنبد خضرا پہ ہو رحمت مدام جگمگاتے گنبد خضرا پہ ہو رحمت مدام مسجد نبوی کے نوراں مناروں کو سلام، مسجد نبوی کے نورانی مناروں کو سلام،
اے بیابان عرب تیری بہاروں کو سلام، تیرے پھولوں کو تیرے پاکیزہ بہاروں کو سلام، اے بیابان عرب
ممبروں گنبد کے مکی کو دونوں پیاروں کو سلام، سبز گنبد کے مکی کو دونوں پیاروں کو سلام،
اے بیابان عرب تیری بہاروں کو سلام،
سیدی حمزہ گور جملہ شہیدان احد، سیدی حمزہ گور جملہ شہیدان احد کو بھی اور سب غازیوں کو شاہ سواروں کو سلام، کو بھی اور سب غازیوں کو شاہ سواروں کو سلام،
اے بیابان عرب تیری بہاروں کو سلام، تیرے پھولوں کو تیرے پاکیزہ بہاروں کو سلام،
جس جگہ پر آ کے سوئے ہیں صحابہ دس ہزار، جس جگہ پر آ کے سوئے ہیں صحابہ دس ہزار، اس بقیے پاک کے سارے مزاروں کو سلام، اس بقیے پاک کے سارے مزاروں کو سلام،
اے بیابان عرب تیری بہاروں کو سلام، تیرے پھولوں کو تیرے پاکیزہ بہاروں کو سلام، اے بیابان عرب
غسل کعبہ کا بھی منظر کس قدر پر کیف ہے، غسل کعبہ کہتا ہے عطا ان نظاروں کو سلام، جھوم کر کہتا ہے عطا ان نظاروں کو سلام،
اے بیابان عرب تیری بہاروں کو سلام، تیرے پھول
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. A very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the complete love for his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing deeds that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first deed that we have mentioned prior to listening to this beautiful kalam was seeking repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we go on to the second deed, and for this I want to give you a very beautiful narration that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three types of servants at whom Allah ta'ala looks and smiles and becomes very pleased. The first is the servant who wakes up at night, leaves his bed, performs wudu properly, and then stands in salah. Seeing him, Allah Ta'ala says to the angels, O my angels, tell me, what encouraged my servant to do this good deed? The angels reply, O our Rabb, you know best. Allah Ta'ala says, yes, I know, but tell me. They say, Ya Allah, you instilled in him fear of one thing, that is hell. So he fears it. And you give him hope of one thing, that is Jannah, so he hopes for it. It is this fear and hope that made him sacrifice his sleep and stand before you. Allah Ta'ala then says, O angels, bear witness what he fears, meaning hell, I have granted him safety from it. And what he hopes for, meaning paradise, I have made obligatory for him. Allahu Akbar. The second person is he who participates in the battle between truth and falsehood, remains steadfast until either he is martyred or Allah Ta'ala grants him victory. Seeing this servant, Allah Ta'ala also smiles, meaning becomes pleased. The third is the servant who travels at night. When he stops during the last portion of the night, his companions sleep, but he stands and begins to perform salah. Seeing the servant as well, Allah Ta'ala smiles, meaning becomes pleased. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Tears of Madinah, I mean, reflect for a moment. How fortunate is that person, is that servant who wakes up at night, sacrifices his sleep, performs wudu properly, stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, that person is truly blessed. One at whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased. And this is worshipping at night, Tears of Madinah. I mean, it's so amazing. It's so, you know, filled with serenity and peace, that while the entire world, the whole world is sleeping, you wake up and you connect yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You boost your spirituality, you strengthen that connection, and you speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever difficulties, whatever lawful wishes you have, whatever the case may be, you are mentioning it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of people. You know, how often we see so many people mentioning their difficulties to others. Oh, I got this problem, I got that problem. What are people going to do? People aren't going to do much for you. They're only going to sympathize with you. They're going to tell you sorry. But when you put your head down in sajda, when you implore to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can help you and that will assist you. So we need to implement this as well, Ibn of Madinah channel. The next we see is sending durood and reciting the Holy Quran at night. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that a servant wakes up at night, performs wudu properly, praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifies his greatness, sends durood upon his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then opens the Holy Quran and begins reciting it. This is the servant at whom Allah ta'ala smiles and says, look, my servant is worshipping me while no one sees him except me. Allahu Akbar. Is it something difficult? No. is just to get the schedule in motion. You wake up at night, you perform proper wudu, you praise Allah, you clarify His greatness, you send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You open the Holy Quran and you recite it. Allahu Akbar. And look at the rewards. You know, the virtue and the excellence of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such that a person can gain forgiveness just because of that. Yes. There's one narration wherein there was a man, Bani Israel, very sinful, disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People despised him, didn't like him. So when he passed away, they took his body and they threw it into a dumpyard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that, "Oh Musa, go to so and so place. My servant is there, remove him from there, kafan dafan, give him ghusl, proper burial." Musa alayhi salam, he did as he was told, and he also knew this person was sinful. So he says, "Oh Allah, this person disobeyed you, oh Allah. This person was sinful, transgressed the limits. Ya Allah, what is the wisdom behind this?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Oh Musa, what you are saying is true. Yes, he disobeyed me. Yes, he was sinful. But he had a habit." What was this habit? The habit he had was that whenever he would open the Torah and he would come across the name of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would kiss the beautiful name of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam and recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Musa, it is for this reason that I have forgiven his sins. Allahu Akbar. That was a man from one of the previous nations, Bani Israel. And you and I, we are from the Ummah and nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine when you and I send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much of a reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be granting to us? Allahu Akbar. So always, always make it a habit, make it part of your routine to always send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for barakah's sake, let us also send collectively with full of love durood e paak salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin. Sabse ola wa la hamara nabi, sabse bala wa la hamara nabi. Apne maula ka pyara hamara nabi, apne maula ka pyara hamara nabi. Dono alam ka dula hamara nabi. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin. Khalq se awliya, awliya se rasul, ar-rasul se ala hamara nabi. Kaun deta hai dene ko moh chahiye, kaun deta hai dene ko moh chahiye. Dene wala hai sacha hamara nabi. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin. Allah ہم صلی علی سیدنا و مولانا محمد. کیا خبر کتنے تارے کھلے چھپ گئے پر نہ ڈوبے نہ ڈوبا ہمارا نبی. غمزدوں کو رضا مجد دیجئے کہ غمزدوں کو رضا مجد دیجئے کہ بے قصوں کا سہارا ہمارا نبی اللہ. ہم صلی علی سیدنا و مولانا محمد. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Always continue sending درود پاک صلوات upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you would see how all your difficulties be removed, all your worries, the stress and anxiety, depression that you have by reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I, we would see all of those difficulties being removed from our lives. But we have to make sure that we send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that the closest person to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that person who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. I mean, look at the virtues, look at the benefits, look at the rewards of sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And together with that, we have heard also of reciting the Holy Quran. And the narration says that for each, the summary, the mafhum of the narration is that for each and every letter that you recite of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you 10 rewards. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example, alif, lam, meem, alif, 10 rewards, lam, 10 rewards, meem, 10 rewards. Already you have 30 rewards. Imagine reading only one page of the Holy Quran, how much of reward you and I will be getting. You know, the Quran, it illuminates our hearts. The Quran, it brings barakah in our home when recited. You know, one narration mentioned that do not make your homes like graveyards by not reciting the Holy Quran. So if we don't want our homes to be a graveyard, then we need to recite the Holy Quran. Make our homes lively. Make your home lively by reciting the Holy Quran. You want ruhaniyat, you want spirituality in your home, recite the Holy Quran. Send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you would see so much of barakah. You would see so much of blessings in your livelihood, in your wealth, in your family, in your sustenance. It's all there. It's just for us, for you and I, to implement it. The fifth one we see is, the fifth deed is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala smiles upon seeing three types of servants. The people who straighten the safs, the rows during salah. The servant who strives in the path of Allah. The servant who worships Allah ta'ala in the darkness of the night. Seeing them, Allah ta'ala smiles, becomes pleased. And he was a father, you know, these are five deeds in total. Offering salah at night, reciting durood in the solitude of the night, reciting the Holy Quran, performing any act of worship in the darkness of the night, and the fifth, straightening the rows in salah. Now reflect for a moment, how difficult are these deeds? Not difficult at all. Wake up at night, offer only two rak'at of salah, recite as much durood sharif as you can, and recite as much of the Holy Quran as possible. If nothing more, then recite Surah Mulk. And whenever you attend the masjid for Jama'ah, ensure that the rows, the saf, the sufuf, are straight by aligning your heels and your shoulders. Now these are small, simple actions. Yet look at the virtue. The person who performs them is so fortunate, so blessed, that Allah Ta'ala becomes extremely pleased with that person. And such a blessed person is one who, inshallah, will enter Jannah without accountability. He was a father, inshallah, a new phase of life has begun. Make a firm intention that from now on, for the rest of our lives, we will dedicate at least 1 hour every night, even if no more, to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays, many young people's nights are wasted on what? Scrolling through social media, watching random content on their phones, pass by without realization. So at least set aside 1 hour at night for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you would see what a huge difference it brings in your life. You know, Sayyidina Qabisa bin Uqba rahimahullah, he narrates that after the passing of Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah, I saw him in a dream and asked, "What did Allah ta'ala do with you?" And he replied, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to me that, O son of Sa'id, glad tidings for you. I am pleased with you because when night would fall, you used to worship me with tears and a tender heart. Jannah is before you. Take whichever palace you wish and continue beholding me, for I am not distant from you." Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the rewards he was afforded for what? For night worship, for performing ibadah at night. And that became a means of forgiveness. Subhanallah, subhanallah. It has been stated that those who straighten their safs in salah are such people upon whom Allah Ta'ala becomes very pleased. Sadly, a lot of negligence is seen in this matter today. Usually before starting the jama'ah, the imam announces, "Straighten your safs by aligning your heels, neck and shoulders." Despite this, many people do not pay attention to the imam's announcement of straightening the rows. Remember well that not straightening the rows in salah is not a minor issue. The harms of this negligence mentioned in the ahadith are serious. For failing to straighten the rows is abandoning a wajib, which is impermissible and sinful. Because the rows were not straightened, the salah remains deficient. Not straightening the rows becomes a cause of whispers in salah. A hadith mentioned, "Fill the gaps because shaitan enters between you like a young goat." And another hadith is mentioned that whoever breaks a saf, whoever breaks a row, Allah Ta'ala breaks him. In this hadith, Faidul Qadir explains that it means Allah Ta'ala distances such a person from reward and mercy, or deprives him of the ability to perform further good deeds. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "O servants of Allah, straighten your rows, otherwise Allah Ta'ala will create disagreement among you." Allahu Akbar. I mean, reflect for a moment on how important this matter is. Not straightening the rows is not just an issue of one salah, its effects reach our behavior and even the entire society. So we must make a habit to always straighten the rows properly during salah. Now, among the righteous deeds that please Allah Ta'ala, one great deed is self-sacrifice. Now, there is a well-known parable. And once a hungry man presented himself in the blessed God of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had inquiries made in the homes of all the mothers of the believers to see if any food was available, but no food was found in any house. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said to the companions, "Whoever hosts this guest, Allah Ta'ala will have mercy upon him." Sayyidina Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up, took the guest to his house. When he reached home, he asked his wife, "Is there any food in the house?" She said, "There's only little food kept for the children." Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "Put the children to sleep somehow. And when the guest sits down to eat, get up on the pretext of fixing the lamp and extinguish it so that the guest may eat comfortably." He did this so that the guest would not realize that the household was not eating with him. Otherwise, the guest would insist. And since the food was little, the guest might remain hungry. In this way, Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu fed the guest while he and his family spent the night hungry. The next morning, when they presented themselves in the prophetic court, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon seeing Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said that last night an amazing event occurred in the house of such and such people. Allah Ta'ala smiled upon them, meaning Allah Ta'ala became extremely pleased with them. And regarding this event, this ayah was revealed, in which it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, and they give preference over themselves even if they themselves are in need. And whoever was saved from the greed of his soul, then it is they who are successful. Subhanallah, subhanallah. It becomes clear that self-sacrifice, deeds of Mother Nature, is also a deed that pleases Allah Ta'ala. Now, what is self-sacrifice? It means giving preference to the need and desire of another over one's own need and desire. In a hadith, it's mentioned that whoever desires something, then restrains his desire and gives preference to someone else over himself, Allah Ta'ala forgives him. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Like we see, Sayyidina Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that one day, after keeping a fast for a full day, food was prepared in our home. And my beloved father, Mawla Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, and my younger brother, Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had finished eating. But my mother, Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, had not yet eaten. As soon as she was about to begin her meal, a beggar came to the door and said, "O daughter of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have not eaten for two meals. Please give me some food." Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha immediately stopped eating and instructed, "Go and give this food to the beggar. I have missed only one meal, whereas he has been hungry for two." Allahu Akbar. Look at the self-sacrifice of Mother Nature. And the reward for feeding others. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever feeds a Muslim who is hungry, Allah Ta'ala will feed him the fruits of paradise on the day of Qiyamah. And whoever gives water to a Muslim who is thirsty, Allah Ta'ala will give him sealed, pure and clean drink on the day of Qiyamah." Another hadith, "Whoever fully satisfies the hunger of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit him into Jannah through such a gate that only people like him will enter from." Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear of Mother Nature, we could continue on. Time is always of the essence, and we have reached the conclusion of our today's episode. We make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala grant us all the ability, the tawfiq, to implement what we have learned today and to spread it out to others as well. Until then, keep watching Madani channel and keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.